Translation. I offer my respectful obeisance unto Lord Vasudev, who is all-pervading, to the Lord's fierce form as Lord Nrisingadev, to the Lord's form as an animal, Lord Varahadev, to Lord Dattatreya, who preached impersonalism, to Lord Buddha and to all other incarnations. I offer my respectful obeisance unto the Lord, who has no material qualities, but I accept the three qualities, goodness, passion and ignorance, within this material world. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Hare Krishna. Purport. In the previous verses, it has been described that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material form, he accepts innumerable forms to favour his devotees and kill the demons. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that they are all like the waves of a river. The waves of the river flow incessantly, and no one can count how many waves there are. Similarly, no one can calculate when and how the different incarnations of the Lord appear according to the necessities of time, place, and candidates. The Lord appears perpetually. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4:7, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam sri jamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. In the material world there is always a possibility of deviation from Krishna consciousness, and therefore Krishna and his devotees always act in various forms to curb such godlessness. Even impersonalists who stress the knowledge feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead want to merge into the effulgence of the Lord. Therefore, here the word Jnana Ganaya indicates that for atheists who disbelieve in the form and existence of the Lord, all these various incarnations appear. Since the Lord comes to teach in so many forms, no one can say that there is no God. The word Jnana Ganaya is especially used here to refer to those whose knowledge has become solidified by dint of their searching for the Lord through speculative philosophical understanding. Superficial knowledge is useless for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when one's knowledge becomes extremely intense and deep, one understands Vasudev. Vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sadurlabha. A jnani attains this stage after many, many births. Therefore the word jnana ganaya is used here. The word shantaya indicates that Lord Vasudev is situated in everyone's heart, but does not act with the living entities. Impersonalist jnanis realize Vasudev when they are fully mature in knowledge. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabha. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sargajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we'll find in the Srimad Bhagavatam that many things are repeated many, many times. Like in these last few verses, the same points are being made over and over again. But actually the Shastras and Prabhupada explain that this is not a fault. This is actually what they call ornament. That when something's very important, it's actually repeated. When we say something important to somebody, we say it more than once, isn't it? If we think it's important anyway, they may not think so. But when we think something's important, we'll actually emphasize it. And somebody says, why does he keep repeating this? And so the Shastras and the authors and writers of the Shastras are repeating because it's very, very important. Like in 8 and 9, it said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material activities. Name, form, qualities or faults. It's making this point that the Lord is not like us. Atmanam manyate jagat. This means that everybody can only understand the sphere of his own activities and the workings of his own mind. He cannot understand that of somebody else. And so when we try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the same thing applies. That we tend to think he's like us. And that's a big problem. If he's like us, we're in big trouble. Unless we're a pure devotee, of course. If he's like, well, I should say, I don't know about everybody else, but if he's like me, then we're all in big trouble. Because, you know, we are conditioned. Krishna's not conditioned. People approach God in many different ways. They approach him... They try to treat him as an order supplier. This is a kind of friendship given in the Shastras, a friendship of Maitra, or this Bandhu. Krishna's called Dina Bandhu, he's a well-wisher of all living entities. But that type of friendship is business. So if we are approaching Krishna for something, we'll never be able to trust Krishna. Because we are businessmen, how can we trust another businessman? Then if we're approaching Krishna, we may have a deeper relationship, which means like Maitra, this is like family or social friendship. We've gone above the official platform to social. And then in this situation, this type of friendship is limited. Because even in families, there's big squabbles. Even in the great empires, we find that the king is dethroned or killed by his own son. So this type of friendship is not really very beneficial in devotional service. And then there's another type of friendship, which is what we're actually aspiring for, what's desired. What's that kind of friendship? That Krishna's surit is in the heart. This point is being made here. In many verses before this and the verses after, that Krishna's in the heart. And to understand and appreciate that is actually very helpful for our devotional service. He says that when we renounce, then we should live in the forest, but we shouldn't be afraid. Because we realize that Krishna is in the heart. In the forest there's many fierce animals, fierce human beings probably as well. And we have to understand that actually Krishna's in my heart and he's in their heart as well. And so he can guide them. And this was this platform of Haridas Thakur. He used to live in the cave. And when people came to see him, they wouldn't come at one point. They warned him. They said, there's a huge python in there, or a huge snake, a dangerous snake. And so Haridas Thakur thought, well, I'll not bother the snake. He was here before me. So I'll go somewhere else. But then, why? Because Krishna's in the heart. The snake slithered out of the cave and left Haridas Thakur on his own. And so that's the reality. That what's that? Narayana prasave nakutushchana bibhite svarga apavarga narakeshu arbitulyasa darsanam. That a devotee is not really fearful of any situation because he has that deep understanding that Krishna's always there. He's in charge of the situation. So why has he got to fear? He has to depend on Krishna. A young child is not frightened when he's in the presence of the father, because the father is giving all protection and he's fully dependent. And so this is one of the particular qualities that's related here. It says that Krishna is not material. He's not under the modes of nature. If we can understand that, what does the Bhagavad Gita say if we understand this? Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata chaktvidyam punarjam naiti mameti sarjana. If we can actually factually understand that, then we don't come back to this material world. Do we all understand that? We can probably understand it when we read Bhagavad Gita superficially, but it's not really realized that Krishna is our well-wishing friend and that he's always there for us. This is what it really means, that he's not part of the material world. He's not conditioned soul. One conditioned soul cannot help another conditioned soul. But all conditioned souls in this world, what are they doing? They're depending on other conditioned souls. This is the choice we have, isn't it, in devotional in life. We can either depend on Krishna or we can depend on the material world, the Krishna's external energy, and then automatically we're depending on so many other living entities. And what's that dependence going to bring us? If they're conditioned, we're conditioned, there's no benefit. And so this is the situation, that there's always a fearful condition, isn't there? We're never satisfied. Bayam, fear is there. Dviti abhinivasetaha, shat. Means we're seen on the platform of duality. We're not seeing how Krishna is transcendental to this material world. He can actually give me due guidance in my life at every moment. And therefore we're always taking shelter of our mind and other living entities. So, so Gajendra, typical example. People think that Janmaish Arya Shruta Shribir, Janma, high birth, I'm safe, I'm a king, I have plenty of money, or I'm an aristocracy. Everybody's listening to me, everybody's bowing down before me. Aishwarya, wealth, even if we're not born in high family, if we've got plenty of money, it's just the same nowadays, isn't it? At one time, it wasn't like that. Well, actually, even in Lord Chaitanya's time, one great king, just before Lord Chaitanya appeared, I forget his name, Raj something or other, and the Suvanik families in West Bengal, they owned gold and land, and the king had to take loans from them for his kingdom, and eventually he wasn't paying them back, so they stopped it. So who's more powerful nowadays? Even then, who was more powerful? The Kali Yuga had already started 500 years ago, 5,000 years ago actually. So money speaks. So Aishvarya. We're proud of our Aishvarya. Shruta. We think we learn a little bit of Shastra and we're okay. No, this is actually, most people don't learn the proper Shastra. So, and in the material, in the Western world, especially, people are so proud of their education. But what does it actually bring them? Does it bring them any difference from anybody else? No. Shruta and Shribir. And what's Shribir? People who are very, very beautiful become very, very proud also. And so Gajendra, big, big body, very powerful person, king of the elephants, sporting in the water, but he gets into a difficult situation. This is a material world, isn't it? That even no matter how powerful we are, there's always somebody better than us. Has anybody noticed that? And it's made like that. We strive and strive to become better than others, and we always find there's somebody a bit better. Disappointment. You know, we can regress down to the lower planets, and there's somebody almost. There's always somebody who's more demoniac than us. We'll never get to the bottom, and there's always somebody better than us the other way. So Gajendra's thinking is so powerful, but at some point he starts to realise that, wait a minute, I'm going to lose. And at that point he starts to remember his devotional service he's performed in past lives. And even under great pain, it says, he's in agony. A crocodile wrapped around his jaws are wrapped around his leg. And he starts to pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these are the prayers that we're hearing now. And so this is how material life is. It's devotional service is meant for purification, that we'll find that every day there's some either physical or there's some mental disturbance or some obstacle. And this is actually good for us, because when there's some obstacle, when there's some resistance, what does it do? It builds up our strength. Is that right? If we're always having it easy, we don't actually exercise this spiritual muscle like the weightlifters. They like exercise, and they'll go a little bit beyond what they did last time to actually increase their strength. So Krishna's doing that with us in the material world. And in this particular instance, Gajendra's having a real big test. But he's coming out successful. And he's praying that you're not understandable within this material. What's the verse again? Let's come back to it. I offer my respectful obeisance to Vasudeva, who is all-pervading, to the Lord's fierce form as Lord Nrsingadev, to the Lord's form as an animal, Varaha, to Dattatreya, who is preaching impersonalism, to Buddha, and all the other incarnations. And it says that he accepts the three qualities of material nature. All-pervading, a fierce form. He has no material qualities. This is the point that's been made in many verses up to this point. No material qualities. And Queen Kunti, when she gives that prayer about how she doesn't want these opulences, they make her they divert her from the path of devotional service. And then she prays, Namashe Purusham Twadyam, Ishvaram Prakrite Param, Alakshanam, Alakshyam Sarvabhutanam, Antarbahir Avastitam. She says, O Krishna, I offer my obeisance unto you because you are the eternal personality and unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. Alakshanam. And so this is devotional service means instead of Krishna being Alakshayam, becoming Lakshyam, visible to our eyes at every moment. And this is the process, is that these obstacles or this resistance we find in going forward is helping us to go deeper into devotional service. Because at the end of this particular purport, he says that the word Jnana Gnaya is especially used here to refer to those whose knowledge has been solidified by dint of searching for the Lord through speculative philosophical understanding. Specific knowledge is useless for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but when one's understanding becomes extremely intense and deep, one understands Vasudev. Vasudevam Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurlabha. So we can philosophically understand, we can hear, and we can read, but it's not really so helpful. Many people are scholars, but they don't understand Krishna. Many people, Prabhupada said, I'm not really a scholar compared to a lot of people who I associated with and in India. He says, they know much more philosophy than I do. Well, externally at least. So it's not really helpful. So what we do know, Prabhupada said, we're distributing these books at this time of year. And he says that to encourage the devotees to distribute them, he said that if they just touch this book, read one word. Read one paragraph. Read one line. Even read one word. They just touch the book. They get so much benefit. Because all the verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are full of deep meaning. If we understand one properly in depth, then we'll understand Krishna. And so it's not just superficial. So the Lord appears in these different forms it next mentions. Janma Karma Cha Vishvatma. Then we recognize this verse. Janma Karma Cha Vishvatma. Ajaksha Kotur Atmanaha. Tiryan Rishu Yadishu Tad Ajanta Vidambanam. So this is Queen Kunti praying again. Very important prayers. He says that, of course it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work though you are inactive, and that you take birth though you are the vital force and unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, sages and aquatics. Verily this is bewildering. And so Krishna remains in that position to the non-devotees, and also to those who are not serious. He said, I'm never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. What's that verse? Anybody remember? Hey? Avagyan anti mamuna manasin. Parambat agya. Yeah, avagyan anti mamuna. No, that's fools deride me, that one. When I descend in my human form. Naham Prakash Sarvasha Yogamaya Samrita. This Yogamaya covering is there. So a devotee is becoming increasingly more deep about his devotional service. And when it reaches the right depth, then Krishna can actually is revealing all the time, little by little. Yeyata Mamsvadyante Tamsateva Bhavajamiham. As they surrender unto me, then I'll reward accordingly. So this is what we are going deep into devotional service. The different incarnations are there to, according to time, place and circumstance. In previous ages, he appeared as a turtle, kurma, or as a hog, and as a half man, half lion. So would it be very helpful if he appeared in those forms in this age? It might be. When we ask people on the street, what do you like reading? Horror. Or, you know, something, or murder. This is 90% of people answer these things. So what kind of mentality is it? So maybe Lord Nrisimhadev should have appeared in this age. But Lord appears, no, he appears as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what's his weapon? It was said the other day. His beauty. He's very attractive. very attractive to the conditioned souls. But more, but also his other weapon is the holy name. This is a secret weapon. So the Lord's appearing on time in each universe according to time, place and circumstance. So the Lord's appearing for our benefit. This is the point. And so we have to. So the whole point of devotional service is to take on board that the Lord is trying to appear before us, and we should be trying to actually see him, not just mechanically performing devotional service. So understanding Krishna's transcendental position means application, not just superficial practice. When we do, when we're practicing things in devotional service, what are we doing them for? This is what we have to be asking ourselves. We always come back to this question, why am I doing this? Who am I doing it for? We'll be surprised at the answers we get. We may be doing it for ourselves. Well, that's good. At least we're actually following the right process. Next point, what else could we be doing for devotional service for? Next thing, instead of doing it just for myself, then maybe I should do it for others. And so this comes by preaching. This is the next stage. And then the next point is when we are actually all together trying to serve Krishna and preach, are we actually getting one another, are we getting in one another's way? Maybe that's also there. So so Prabhupada said actually that intelligence and organization would also be there. I was looking reading about Prabhupada in the Great Transcendental Adventure in Kurma's book, and when he was in Australia, it's talking about the successes and failures they had, and at one point there was one devotee called Siddha Swarup. He was a Prabhupada disciple, but before he came to the movement, he was actually, he had many followers. He was a spiritual personality. He was following a particular system. And then he became attracted to devotional service because of Prabhupada's association. And then he also attracted, all his followers came with him. And so Prabhupada at one point said he was a pure devotee. And at some point he became a little bit disturbed about the book distribution, how the devotees were using so many, what seemingly untoward ways to distribute books. And so there's a rift in the movement. And one of Siddha Swarup's followers, he was in charge of a temple in New Zealand. But he wasn't one of his followers, he was one of his admirers. He was also a sannyasi. And he came to the conclusion that ISKCON would have to buy the temple off him if they wanted it back. And Prabhupada said, just see how Maya works. He thinks it's his temple. And so we can see how Maya works amongst devotees to create dissension. Queen Kunti also plays about dissension is due to the material concept of life. But Prabhupada in this situation, the point we're making is treading on one another's toes by not seeing Krishna in the equation. And Prabhupada, even in that situation, although they got so far off the mark, he still tried to keep that devotee connected to devotional service. He was juggling. You know these people who have the plates, they get one plate going, then another one, then another one, and they've got, you know, maybe 15 plates going, and he's running from one end to the other. Is that still going? You still see it on television sometimes. Well, how do you know? So Prabhupada was like that. He was trying to keep everybody engaged. But tendency is, just understanding Prabhupada's mood, we could actually also have the same attitude. Because sometimes a devotee does oceans and oceans of service, he does one thing wrong, and that's it. Sometimes we have that opposite mentality. And so, what's the quality of our devotional service? So we should be seeing, what does Krishna want? Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita ritsaroja. Ase srutekshita patana novarta pumsham. Yad yat yat urgaya vibhava yanti. Tat tat vapu pranayase sad anugrahaya. So Krishna appears before the devotee in the way that the devotee has always thought about him during his life. And so this is very instructive to us, that we're developing the consciousness of Krishna, because depending on how we see Krishna, that's how we'll be successful in our devotional service. If we're seeing Krishna every moment, then we'll see Krishna at the end of life. If we're not seeing Krishna every moment, then we'll see other things at the end of life. He even appears to the atheist in a particular form. Is that right? It's not that they haven't got thoughts in their head at the time of death. He'll appear as all-devouring death, all-fearful situation. And so it's deep devotional service. We're introspective devotional service. We're asking our questions. What am I trying to achieve at this particular moment in time? How is it affecting the people we're trying to actually make devotees? How is it affecting the other devotees? This decision I'm making now, if I'm in a particular... department, how is it going to affect other departments? Tough. Sometimes it's like that, isn't it? No, we're trying to be a unit. So a devotee is very Prabhupada was conscious about every aspect of this movement. He'd be walking past an insignificant devotee and he'd look at him and he'd understand his mentality. And he'd speak to him in such a way that he enlivened that person. And so this is what we're aiming for, that standard that Prabhupada set. And that when we're actually all on that platform, then there'll be... things will go very nicely. Attack Sri Krishna Namadi. Nama Vetgre Mindriyai. So these senses have to become purified. What's that verse? Sarva Padi. We're full of designations. And we bring these designations into devotional service. And this is what causes the problems. When we bring designations in, then we've got designations when we're trying to work together. And in the material world, what do they say? They say, fences create good. Eh? You have to speak up. Fences create good. Friends. You know, that's what they're saying. Yes. You know, if you don't get on with somebody, put a fence up. And then you don't fall out with him. You know what I mean? Fences create good friends. So if that happens in devotional service, we're finished. And that's what we do. Unwittingly, we make decisions, you know, because we're trying to see Krishna here. If we're seeing Krishna in this situation, wait a minute, Krishna's in his heart as well. He's inspiring him to do devotional service. So maybe I should actually try and cooperate with him. What do you think? Be a good idea, wouldn't it? But if we forget that, then we start putting these fences up. And never the twain shall meet. And superficially, Haribol. But internally, it's not Haribol. And then what happens is that we go down, you know, sometimes we think, you know, why are we experiencing so many difficulties? Why, you know, why can't we get on? So these are upadis, sarvapadi, moving in and uptown. Yeah, we practice with this material body, but we're trying to get rid of it. Yes. We're trying to get rid of it. We're not trying to keep it. So therefore, we have to internally, we're practicing on a different platform. That's the goal. We're trying to see Krishna in every situation. So anyway, it's getting to half past. The second part of this purport was talking about impersonalism. Atapi te deva bhajam bhaja dvaya prasada lasenu grihita eva hi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno na chanya ekopi chiram vichinvam. Has anybody heard this verse? He says, my lord, if one is favoured by even a slight trace of your mercy, of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years together. So Lord Brahma is praying for the power to create. He wants to see Krishna. Krishna wants to give his energy. That's why all these incarnations are in this material world. So this impersonalism is when Prabhupada came to the West, when I first started reading The Science of Self-Realization, I thought, why? Every page is mentioning this. It seemed like nearly every page I read, it was mentioning impersonalism. I thought, well, why is he mentioning this? Everybody knows that there's a God. You know, we may not believe in God, but in the West, you know, there's a God. And that's it. You either believe in him or you don't. And why all this impersonalism? Because it's actually deep-rooted. You look back to Prabhupada said, one of Prabhupada's devotees said to Prabhupada, this materialistic civilization has been here for a long time, Prabhupada. He said, no. In the West, anyway. He said, no, just last couple of hundred years, that's all. And if you notice, when you go out driving in the lanes and you get off the motorway, you go into the, you know, the countryside, and you'll come past the villages. What's in the middle of every village? A church. Yeah, it looks beautiful. There's a church. You know, the village was centered around a beautiful church, which took probably many, many years to build. There's personalism there. What do we do now? I went to Milton Keynes. Now, and this is the new city of the South Midlands, isn't it? And then there's one up in Liverpool, Manchester. They call it what do they call that one? Starts with S. You know, these got all really imaginative names, like you know, like Black Rod Avenue. And so Milton Keynes is a bit like that. Do you see any, you know, does it look like a nice hamlet with a church in the middle? It's just blocks everywhere, and everything looks the same. So I say impersonalism creeps into society when God is not in the centre, in our very way we think, the buildings that we build. So Prabhupada, in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, that's the first thing he attacks, this impersonalism. I'll just read out a few arguments he gives. In 2.12 he says, Natvevaham jatunasam. He's talking about, never was there a time when I did not exist, Krishna speaking, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall we ever cease to be. He's talking in the plural. He's talking in the plural. And what arguments does Prabhupada? So in the verse, he refers to we. We are eternally we. Then in the verse he says, the Mayavadis may say impersonalism is material, that there's duality of the body and the soul in material life, but when we achieve perfection, we all merge. So what does Prabhupada say? Prabhupada, it's in 13 actually. What does he say? He says that later in the Bhagavad Gita, in 2, later on anyway, I can't remember the verse, 2.23, he says that the soul cannot be cut, and it's eternal. So it's been eternally, it's been an individual. So if we're all one in our original constitutional position, right, this is what the Mayavadis say, how have we become many? Makes sense, doesn't it? And then in 2.12 he says that Krishna's, how do we know Krishna's individuality? Krishna's saying I and you. He's making a distinction. If Krishna is also just impersonal, how is he remaining an individual? Krishna's speaking. Then next one. If Krishna is an ordinary person, how can he deliver transcendental knowledge? He must be something different to us. If somebody's conditioned, he can't help. Somebody who's bound cannot help somebody else who's bound. So Krishna has to be free. Otherwise, why are the Mayavadis reading Bhagavad Gita? Does that make sense? Why are they listening to Krishna if he's actually just a conditioned soul? He can't help them. And then, then the last one is convention on the body. Same thing again, that it only applies to this material body, that we are in duality. But then, in previous to this, asochan and vasochastvam, prajna vadnucha bhasase. Krishna immediately started to reply to Arjuna when Arjuna surrendered. He says, you're a fool. He said, you're putting emphasis on the body. The emphasis should be on the soul. The body's temporary. It's of no consequence. So if the Maya body start talking about duality on the bodily concept, then that's also false. Anything else on impersonalism? Krishna does not manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. Foolish and unintelligent cannot understand that Krishna was had a form before and he's got a form in the material world. What is it? It said, I was formless before. They think he was formless before and now he's achieved his form. He said, no, I've had a form before I came to this material world. Fools can't understand that. So last point is super soul realization again. Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra. Anyway, I'll not go through the Sanskrit. It says, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, then I'm never lost to him and he's never lost to me. So we're learning to see Krishna at every moment. And this is why Krishna appears. Yada yada hi dharmasya ganir bhavati bhatina abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmajam sri jamyaham. So, what's that verse? We should fix it. We should fix the mind on Krishna by all means. Tasmat sarvashu kaleshu ma anushmarya yugyacha. Mayapita manobhidya yepi mami vashay si ashamshayaha. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind fixed on me, you will attain me without a doubt. This is Krishna consciousness. It's not unconsciousness, it's consciousness. Okay, so we can stop there.